That thing you just mentioned, I think you said, because you think you know, therefore. Well, that's stronger than you might know. And one of the reasons is you're exceptionally intelligent and also observant. In many ways, you're exceptional. So what the mind tends to do is take the information, drop it straight back in, go to a reference point, assuming you know more than the other person. And so you go to your archives and you don't hear. And you see, a person can be 95% off. But what we're looking for all the time in life is the 1% or even less. We're just looking for something there that triggers something beyond the mind. Because the mind has been programmed by unintelligent people. Not by mistake. It's to dumb us down so that we don't become a threat. The church does it, the government does it, everybody does it. And what happens with exceptionally intelligent people, they know they're more intelligent. So they listen to somebody and, oh, I got that, or I know that. And just now, when I came back, you said something, as though you absolutely know. And you don't. You don't know anything. Nobody does. Because knowing is to do with the mind. Not only has the mind been programmed by people that don't know anything, but it can only work in duality. In other words, it can only say good because it has bad. It only can say bad because it has good. It works in duality. And the level that we're looking for has nothing to do with reality. Therefore, it can't be said. And it can be heard. Because inside us somewhere, and then the words don't work, we're in touch with, we are one with the unexplainable. But the more you think you know, the less you're going to be in touch with that. So what's exceptional about you is that you are exceptionally intelligent. You've done your research. You're very capable. And you're terrified of losing control. And your control is based around you being superior. And I'm not saying that in an unpleasant way. I just mean, you know more. You're in control. Now, what's with you is, you see, the more you wake up, and the more intelligent you are to start with, the more you hold on to the last thing. And you really hold on to the last. And you do anything to hold on to it. Because when that's gone, you're gone. And when I say you're gone, I don't mean you know you're gone. There's nobody there to know you're gone. You're gone. And then you don't know anything. And everything is when you become as a little child. You don't know. What's that? And you've, for some reason in your life, at a very early age, you've had to be together. And that has to go. In fact, everything has to go. Now here's a very unusual thing about you. Another unusual thing is, on one level, you're a very caring person. You care. Quite exceptionally. But the caring is blocked at a certain level. And you don't go beyond a certain level of feeling. Because if you feel past that point again, you don't know who you are. You melt away. You're not in control. So for your children and your husband and you, you're incredibly caring. You look after them. You take care of the details. But you don't melt beyond control. And so there's a part in you that has to be in control. It has to be. And as I say, this is probably your last barrier. When that's gone, as I say, you're gone. And you're not in control anymore. And as is happening to Kira quite a bit, you spend a lot of time in tears. Everything touches you. Touches you. One illustration, just to try and make this clear, because it's not so easy to explain. When we went to that first house that was empty, you were looking at it very practically. Is it big enough? Is it in the right place? And I think when you get a house, you'll say, good, I've got the right house, it's in the right place. And I love this place. I love it. I love everything about it. I love the trees. I love the animals. Even although it's a lot of work, I love it. I love my car. And it goes beyond the practical. It doesn't make sense to the mind. How can you? But it's another dimension of being. But there's nobody there to be in control. There's nobody there to define anything. What do you mean you love it? You can't explain it. It's just a sense of something. And you melt into it. So when I walk around this place, especially when I'm on my own, I'm not really here, separate from this place. It's like we're one, in a way. If you care for your children, if you take care of them, you look after them, there's a sense of control there. But if you go deeper and you love them, control's gone, because there's a certain level you can't take care of them. Anything can happen anytime. And if you care at that level, then you become devastated. Again, no control. This is another way of trying to explain it. Practically everybody lives in a transparent bubble, which is actually a cage. It keeps things out, and it keeps you in. So when we meet, our bubbles come together, and they sort of bounce off each other. Again, it's a function of the system to take care. A little child doesn't do that. Do you remember when you picked up your baby when it was small and held it on your shoulders? It melted right into you. You could hardly tell what was the baby and what was you. Melted into each other. Because there's no barrier there. And especially, of course, with a mother who's been one there. And it's possible to live that way. Everyone, they will melt into you. It's very rare you meet anyone without a bubble. But you can be unprotected, which means vulnerable, which means not in control. And that means at a certain level, when you walk down the street, you can find yourself in tears, feeling people's pain. You can feel it. You can see it. If you put yourself in a bubble, you don't allow yourself to feel it. And then it feels as though you're existing, but it's on a very shallow level. And until we let our bubbles go and start to be one with each other and see that your pain is not separate from me, there is only one, but it's a devastating stage to go through. When that bubble dissolves and you start to feel one with everyone, you see their behavior and what they're presenting to you and what they're avoiding, but now you're in touch with what's going on in there. And so we do that to keep ourselves together. but we're in a prison. So what you could look at is, in each moment, just slowing down, and then there isn't a word, feeling, sensing, melting into the situation. When you've let go of your protective layer, just before it happens, the mind says, now you're undefended. People are still going to repeatedly hurt you because you've got nothing to block. What happens is, when somebody says, knowingly or unknowing, something that's hurtful to you, it does go straight in, because now you're not shielding. It goes straight in. If you're clear in that place, say somebody's insulting you, and it's not based on anything, it'll come to you, give you a little shake, and go on through. If you're not clear there, it'll come to you and shake that part up. And that's a gift. Because now you can experience that part in you. If anything is less or more, we feel it. But normally we keep it in a static state, so we don't know. We don't feel it. So by not being defended, you are making yourself more available for whatever we call it, existence, to pour into you what you need. You will never get anything you don't need. Anything that comes is what you need. So you don't need to block it. You don't need to defend yourself. Let it in. And as I say, if it's not appropriate, it'll pass right through. And in that process, when you're undefended, you'll find you care for everybody. No matter what they're saying or what they're doing, you'll care for them. So just before it goes, there's a panic. Everything holds on. We're going to die. And part of you does die. The defense, the old, the contaminated, just drops away. And then there's something else that can't really be described. You know when you're in it, but you don't know what it is. You're very clear about what it isn't. You can now see what it isn't. But nobody really has ever described what it is. They use words like the kingdom of God or the Tao or the way. Peace that passeth all understanding. But none of those things mean anything. And when it happens to you, you'll have your sensation of it, which doesn't necessarily mean anything for anyone else. And as far as I see, there isn't an alternative. We all go there. It's just a matter of how long we want to keep putting it off. And it's not wrong or right or good or bad. It's as though we're all going there anyway. The only thing is, the longer we deny it, the longer we fight it, the more unpleasant consequences there are. And then you can feel good on one level, yes, my life. But behind there, you know, no, this isn't it. I'm not fulfilled.